Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first, put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend, and let me see how you start your day out. If you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging dinner, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you. And the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people go!
All right, shalom, shalom, shalom. I believe we're on the air. At least I hope we are. Hallelujah, glory to the King. Well, hope you all are doing well. Hope you're encouraged. Hope you're still chewing on that beautiful word from yesterday that the Most High gave us through His servant and the shepherd, Pastor Dow. I'll tell you what, if any of them Christians were listening, they sure got a whole different understanding if they got anything about justification, sanctification. I'll tell you, it was just a superb, beautiful meal. if I could say anything greater about it, it was just wonderful. And always thankful that we are counted as part of the privilege to actually be able to be among the living that can actually hear words and words of life. Hallelujah. Well, bless y'all. I appreciate y'all joining in tonight. Of course, this is Elder Becker with tonight's segment of Blog Talk Radio, the Brothers segment. And as you know, if y'all saw the title of tonight, my study tonight, calling Let the Feast Begin, and I believe it's appropriate, and then most of you already know about where I'm going, is because we're just about to enter into our spring of the year, the Israelites' spring of the year, not the Romans, but the Israelites, of course, here in a few weeks, and in fact, sooner than that. When is the new year? It's going to be real soon. Next week? Something like that. But then, of course, the Passover and coming into the evening, the beginning of the 15th day of the first month in the spring. Hallelujah. And we thank the Father for it because we're done with this dead season. We want to get back to life, his feast and celebrations. That he commanded for Israel and not for all the other nations. Hallelujah. Anyway, up front, I want to thank you, Brother Paul, for always being diligent in posting the verses, the scriptures, the definitions for the saints to follow along with. Thank you for your labor, love, and all that are listening tonight. Thank you always for all that you do because, you know, it takes the entire body to make this happen. Anyway, hallelujah, glory to the King. So with that, we're just going to get right into it because this is probably going to go a little hour or more. I'm trying to keep them, you know, down an hour and something like that because we get so much. We've heard it 100 times, but there's so much put out from this ministry. I mean, we could feast continually with just what Pastor Dowell puts out and everything that's added on top of it. Well, yeah, like I said before, and I'll say it again, that nobody that is in this ministry has any excuse to miss their part in eternal life. Nobody. And the Father's going to hold us to that, that's for sure. Anyway, let's begin here. We're going to be starting the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, no, 18 through 30. All right, hallelujah. Here we go. Glory to the King. And it starts out in verse 18, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. For first of all, when you come together in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. And of course, the heresies are the reason these falsehoods, these private interpretations or these public interpretations, somebody else's own understanding of the way things should run, are being introduced into the body here at Corinth. And so Paul says, for there must be heresies among you that is causing divisions, obviously, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you, or those that know the knowledge of the truth, those that can actually step forward and set this thing in order, like Paul is about ready to do. When you come, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat Yahweh's supper or the Master's supper. And obviously, this is a heresy that was introduced, that every time they were gathering together, this was to eat Yahweh's supper. And Paul is saying that the people that brought this in is actually causing a division because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. So he's going to set it straight. And he goes on to say, for in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. And he says, what, have you not houses to eat or to drink in, or despise ye the church of Yah and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I mean, what credibility? What can I give in honor of what you're doing because of an absolute dishonor, this division you're bringing in by this heresy? For I received of the master that which also I deliver unto you. So Paul's giving them the source from where he's saying. He say this from Yeshua HaMashiach himself. And he already gave it to them, so now they're letting this other crap enter in, and it's just causing a division. And he says that the master Yeshua HaMashiach, in the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Now he's going to lay out the supper for him here. And we had given thanks, he brake and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he was supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So he's repeating back to what Yeshua had told the disciples when they were up having what we call the Last Supper, right? That meal before he went to the crucifixion. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the master's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of Yahweh unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Yeshua. So Paul is laying it down here, saying that, this is a very sacred thing. This is something that we're supposed to hold in our mind, that's supposed to be an attitude or a somberness that you're supposed to enter in with a right kind of frame of heart, because it is in remembrance of what our Savior did for us. And these people are taking it and making it, they're actually, not destroying, but they're actually taking from it the real purpose behind it. And, like the father went back and he's talking to Israel that, it's just getting to the point, would have gotten to the point where I'm despising those things that you're doing for me, because you're doing them out of order, out of context, and out of the wrong heart. All right, so he says, whoever takes this, he's given out a warning and admonition, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Messiah. So the word unworthily is the Greek 371, all right? The Greek 71 is anaxio, and it means irreverently, which is means disrespectful, without respect, lacking in respect. So somebody that's actually going in there and actually sitting down, expecting just to partake of this in a disrespectful, not without respect for the offering, lacking in respect about what they're just about to partake in, is going to be guilty. And they're not giving the due respect or the due regard of the significance of this, what they're partaking in, the importance of it. And so Paul, he gives another admonition to these people when he's speaking in the letter. He's sitting, I tell you what. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup. You take a good look at yourself. You see what's going on inside. The word examine in this verse, in verse 28, is the Greek 1381, and it's dokimazio. It almost looks Japanese. Anyway, it means to test, literally or figuratively, by implication to approve, to discern, to examine. So let every man examine himself, test himself, take a good inward look, because this is something, in the past, and a lot of people, you can see that they come to the Passover, they just, hey, we're at the feast, it's we're here with Israel, but they got some malice working in their heart, some ill will, something, and then during the course before the next Passover comes, some bitterness, you don't see them at the next Passover, because they came, they didn't examine themselves. They partook in something that they shouldn't have never. They went in unworthily. They went in a disrespectful manner before the Most High and before just before the beginning of his feast and what our Messiah did for us. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the master's body. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And for what cause? Well, because they did eat and they drank unworthily, did not discerning the state of their own heart, and being weak and sickly, is not only something that is an outward and manifest plainly that we can see, but more so and more importantly is that which is on the inside, that spiritual weakness, that sickness, that eventual death if nothing's done about it, or if you partake in this feast unworthily. You know, of those that sit and partake and do not do a real deep assessment of their own wicked state. And when Paul is giving a warning to, hey, make sure you're in the right frame of mind, your heart is right before the Most High before you even consider sitting down and being a partaker. All right, the word discerning in the 29th verse is a Greek 1252. I'm going to give it to you in the Strong's first, Brother Ugly, and then the Thayer. And from the Strong's, it means the word discerning, not discerning the master's body, is not to separate thoroughly, that is literally and reflexively, to withdraw from or by implication oppose, to discriminate, by implication to decide or reflexively hesitate, contend, make different. So you got to pause for a minute. You got to stop and think, hey, am I in a worthy type of condition to actually partake Passover, this the bread and the blood of the Messiah? What we're about to do. In the Thayer, it's the Greek 1252. It means to separate, make a distinction, discriminate, to prefer, to learn it by discrimination, to try, decide, to determine, give judgment, decide a dispute, to withdraw from one, desert, to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, strive with dispute, contend, to be at variance with oneself, hesitate, doubt. So them are all descriptive words for discerning. Sit, stand back, step back, actually make a fair determination if you're ready actually to partake in the blood and body of Yahshua. You know, Paul is dealing with a situation which many in the assembly at Corinth approached the significance of that meal, which was being done in remembrance of the last meal Yahshua ate with his disciples, as nothing more than the way that they ate on a regular meal. You know, that was the importance. Hey, we're just going down. We're going to sit around. We're going to have a few, you know, a bite of something, and then, you know, we're going to talk and, you know, laugh, do whatever. But they didn't consider the seriousness of it. You know, Paul is telling them that at the Master's Supper, there are those that which did not ponder, did not consider, and did not take into account the seriousness, and more importantly, the significance of that particular meal and what it meant to actually be a true partaker of the flesh and blood of Yahshua. Many of those which were given the honor and privilege of actually being allowed to be gathered for that supper actually walked with a haughty, you know, this I deserve to be there kind of attitude, as if they had earned the right simply because they were recognized as part of the body, if you understand what I'm saying. All right, going to the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 1, Bereshit 1 through 7. Bereshit chapter 4, 1 through 7. And the key words tonight are going to be being unrespectful, disrespectful, not giving regard to, not discerning what you're bringing as an offering before the Most High when you sit down and partake of the Master's Supper and the Passover feast. And Adam knew his wife, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they give him the job occupations of Cain was a farmer, Abel took, you know, he tended to the cattle, to the flocks. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of the flock and the fat thereof. And the master had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering had he not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, you remember the definition of the word unworthily that we read in 1 Corinthians 11:27? Cain offered up an offering that was unworthy before the Most High, and the Father was, this was a something disrespectful, even though Cain, in his mind, was it sufficient to merit God's favor, right? But Yah is saying, no, man, this is an unworthy offering that in I don't have any respect for it. I have no regard, and I don't receive this offering. And verse 6, and Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? So why was Cain upset? Why was he upset? Cain was wroth, a raging man, because he believed his sacrifice, that his offering for the Most High should have been acceptable in the sight of Yahweh. Now, this obviously is an arrogant, egotistical, self-centered man indeed. And Yah is saying unto Cain, he's actually, you know, entreating Cain. He said, you know, what the hell are you upset for? Why are you upset? You know, Yah is saying, I should be the one upset here. Because of the lack of respect you have shown me in the offering that you believed I should accept of you, like it was done, that you have done some mighty great thing, you know, like I'm expected that because you're Cain and because it's your offering that I'm just supposed to receive this. Again, Cain, in his own mind, brought something he thought was acceptable and is completely worthless. And then Yah goes on to say, still, entreating him, but also admonishing Cain at the same time, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted, meaning that if he brings an offering that's worthy of the Most High, he will be accepted, such as we coming into this feast of the Passover. Bring an offering that is acceptable. Make sure your heart is right. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, even when Cain dared to bring forth an offering of disrespect and something not worthy of Yah's approval, again, I'm just going back on to reemphasize that the father tried to entreat him and actually in his admonishment tell him where he messed up so that he could do it right, so he could bring something worthy of the Most High. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1 through 4. All right. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yah, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And by faith, Abel, righteous Abel, offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Yah testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Simply meaning that Yah recognized and actually profited Abel point forward, whereas Cain fell in utter ruin. But that was the excellency of his offering. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1. Ephesians 5, 1 through, that's a big one. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21, 1 through 21, 21 verses. All right, verse 1. Be therefore followers of Yah as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Yah for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, our Messiah, having laid down his life for us that we might have eternal life, and the only way he was able to become sweet-smelling before Yah is that he had no sin. All sin is a stench in the nostrils of Yah. There is no disrespect, no unworthiness towards Yah in the offering of his body. He was totally clean. His heart was pure when he gave himself as an offering, and Yah received the offering, it was sweet smelling in his nostrils. But verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness. Now Paul's about ready to lay out a list of all the stuff that is unacceptable, all the stuff that is an unworthy, disrespectful stench in the nostrils of the Most High. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it be not once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, a righteous thing. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, these are all description of somebody that is trying to give an unworthy offering. No unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath the inheritance in the kingdom of Yah, the kingdom of the Messiah and of Yah. You know, these are all examples, again, of unacceptable offerings that we try to bring before a just and holy Elohim, and they will and shall all be rejected. Only fools believe that the Father approves in such behaviors, condone them, simply meaning that if you're going to come in there in this type of frame, this type of attitude, that your heart is entertaining this stuff, and you think that you can stand before the Most High and give an offering in this kind of mindset and condition, spiritual condition, he's not going to receive you. He's going to reject you just like he rejected Cain's offering. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yah upon the children of disobedience. What vain words? It's okay. It's acceptable. It's, you know, you don't have to do nothing about yourself. Yah understands. You know, you can take all the time in the world that you want, and you know all the excuses we take to not actually try to get rid of our sin. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. I mean, don't sit at, don't do the same thing that the list of all these other people are going trying to give that offering in this condition. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Most High. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and proving what is acceptable unto the Master. And the word proving is the Greek 1381, and it means the same thing to examine, as we read earlier. It's the Greek 1381 again, to test by implication, to approve, allow, discern, examine. So again, examine yourself. Discern yourself, discerning the Master's body, proving what is acceptable under the Father. And the word acceptable is the Greek 2101, and it means something that is fully agreeable and, again, well-pleasing. You know, I think, was Cain's offering acceptable in Yah's sight? You know, again, Cain, he sure thought it was. He didn't prove to himself and didn't examine his own self that this thing was actually acceptable. He was deceived of his own self. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, acceptable behavior and attitude. That's what you need to be doing. This is acceptable in Yah's sight. Take an appropriate action. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Yahshua shall give thee light. Come out of that dead state, that drunken state. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. See that you not walk, you know, in fornication. Don't walk in adultery. Don't walk in jesting, foolish talking, uncleanness, you know, filthiness, covetousness, and, you know, all the things Paul just got done laying out for in that list, and then all the other host of wicked ways that are out there. And you're supposed to be redeeming time because the days are evil. Again, this is all in preparation, you know, to be a partaker in the Master's Supper and the Passover celebration. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of Yah is. And be not drunk in what is his will, that you be sanctified. And you flee fornication. This is the will of the Father. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Most High. So if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you do all these things. You have the prescription program right here to keep yourself in your heart safely guarded from the enemy. Giving thanks always for all things unto Yahweh, and unto the Father, in the name of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Yah. All right, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And this isn't only in This should be something we're preparing for, excuse me, all year long. You know, not waiting up to the last week before and decide that we're going to get all righteous and clean and then enter into the feast. No, it's something that should be on the mind. And some, we're always striving to be without spot or blemish, because we never know when we're going to get, the Father's going to, you know, take the life out of our body. Are we going to be ready? Going to be acceptable in his sight then, you know? And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Again, here's the word prove. Again, the Greek 1381, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah? You got to prove it to the Father. You can't prove it to everybody. You prove it to the Father, and it's proof to everybody else. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. You got to forgive me. I'm exhausted. I don't know. I'm tired. Ah, bless you, Father. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is an illustration, example, how Moshe, Yah's deliverer for Israel out of Egypt, took a stance against the world, against the tyranny, and said, no, I'm going to believe. But he did something to prove that his merit and his love for the Most High and for the nation and for his people, Yah's people in Israel, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. This was a man who was determined to get himself right before his Savior. And by faith, he forsook Egypt, getting all that unclean, all that attitude, all that stuff that he was a partaker of in the land of bondage, because the Father is bringing him out. He's not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, the faith. And through faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, Moses believed that Yahweh, his Elohim, was able to save him and the people to the uttermost. And that which Yahweh had promised Moshe, that was a promise that he was also able to deliver. And the faith of Moses had in Yahweh caused him to trust and wait on the Most High to deliver them all out of bondage. Now, sometimes I got type notes here as I'm studying, and the Holy Spirit puts stuff in mind to try to get on paper, but, you know, my typing is kind of reckless sometimes. So bear with me, all right? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. All right. Yes, this is a commanded feast, you know, of the Most High, but have you ever considered how this feast begins? And this really really hit me hard, really dawned on me that something I've never considered before, but out of all the feasts, this is the only feast in which I want to use the term death immediately precedes the life and liberty that this feast signifies. You know, are we not coming out of the dead season, quote, and starting a renewing of the life in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, starting to spring over again, the feasts all over again, coming back into Yah's holy days. You know, death preceded the feast before Israel was liberated from Egypt and were given a new life. And death came before the feast began when Yahshua was crucified and we were liberated from sin and hell. Thank you, Jesus. And granted the ability to walk in the newness of life. Glory. Thank you, Father. It begins with a somber, serious mood. You know, the reflection, that time before the feast. And you're bringing back to your mind what the Savior did for us. It should. I mean, for me personally, when we entered that night of the Passover coming in, and I always, you know, my spirit is always real somber because I tend to reflect on the importance of what just took place only 2,000 years ago. Oh, thank you, Father. Anyway, glory to the King. One which should cause us to look back in the bondage we were once in just before the mighty and holy one of Israel, our deliverer, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, set us free. The night the death angel was at our door, but the blood of the Savior preserved us and gave us the privilege of crossing over from death to life. Ooh, glory. Hey, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back in a minute.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straight Way Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
All right, can y'all hear me? Glory, glory, glory. Can y'all hear me? All right, good. Yeah, they had a little technical glitch there, but hey, we're back in the game here again. Got myself composed again. You know, I don't mind becoming uncomposed, though. It don't matter. Hey, hallelujah. When you think about what the King has done for you, it ought to bring you to a humble, you know, a very humble state, even knowing that you have the privilege and the honor to be called to serve in His kingdom and to serve Him. Ah, glory. All right, glad everybody's giving tens. We're back on board again. We're going to go start off in the book of Shemot, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. 1 through 14. Just kind of recounting again what our people went through on their first Passover. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of souls every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And that your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Again, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Redeeming, atoning blood. And they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Meaning completely whole. All right. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. Consume the entire sacrifice, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall you burn with fire, purified. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall make haste. Eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn. Again, what I mentioned earlier about we had death immediately preceding the beginning of the Passover here. And then, you know, pass from death to life. And for all pass in the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am Yahweh. You know, I hope none of you are all still harboring that Egyptian spirit and that attitude, the thing that we were supposed to leave when Yah pulled us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And death and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be in you for a memorial, remembering it always. And then you just keep it a feast to the master throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 1 through 12. Oh, and by the way, let me see here. All right. Especially for the new listeners, and maybe some of the guests that are just tuning in for the first time, and others that you may know, that, you know, years ago, there was always seemed to be some kind of confusion about, you know, the Passover. You know, some thought the Passover would start one day and then the feast would start the following day, and then, you know, and others thought that the Passover feast started the first day, which they do. But, you know, I just encourage all of you that has still some type of, you know, not clarity concerning how the feast actually was given to us and actually commanded us to do, I think, I don't know what it was. Time is flying. I don't know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, the Father really put it in my spirit to tackle this matter. And, I produced a newsletter, and it's actually on the Straightway News or Straightway Truth website. So if you care to read it, it's there. It's downloadable. It's got a lot of very good, useful information. It brings it from the Torah all the way up into the Gospels, and you know, does the comparisons between the old or to between the Torah and between the Gospels, and the same type of steps, you know, that you find, that were taken in Exodus 12 and 13, and how Yeshua went through and he was prepared as a path. You know, all that's in there. You can go ahead and read. I don't remember how many pages it was. What, 14, 15, 20? Boy, it's been, I need to go back and read it again. Hallelujah. With all the newsletters. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 14. Man, Brother Paul, how you do that so fast? Oh, it's Brother Steve. Look at Brother Steve and Sister Wendy got it posted up there. And they're all fast with them fingers and the mice and clicking and doing all the other stuff. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Anyway, there's the link up on the chat screen if any of y'all are interested. All right, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Paul is admonishing. He's saying, look, I'll tell you what, don't be ignorant. I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, and don't disregard it, and don't just move it out of your mind, right? Because this is very important. How that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So he's lumping everybody together back then, and he's bringing it up to the present, and because they're all lumped together too, all that believe we're together, all right? And we're all baptized unto Moshe in the cloud and in the sea. And what they all did eat of the same spiritual meat. Now, remember, we're going way back to when Paul, we opened up the study in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, when the divisions come in, right? And talking about the Master's Supper. And everybody was at there was all partaking of that same spiritual meat and that same spiritual drink then. And so back here, Paul's just pulling back and giving a reminder that they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ, the Messiah. But with many of them, Yah was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And why was Yahweh not pleased and overthrew some of our fathers in the wilderness? Because they disrespected the reward. They have no regard to the seriousness of what was given them. They ate and drank in an unworthy state, and it was accounted to them with damnation. Period. So Paul just brought it up in 1 Corinthians 11, and he's going back in the Torah on that time and bringing it back up today, and it met the same judgment. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it are written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, it sounds like what Paul spoke of in his letter to the assembly of Corinth when he told them how they ate whenever and however it suited them, and how some of them were drunk. Again, we see a people that did not consider their own hearts, their own state of being, and did that which was acceptable in their own sight. Again, going just like Cain did before the Most High, bringing unacceptable offering before the Most High. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Yahshua, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyers. Again, Paul is giving the same honor, the same warning again. Man, cut this crap out. Turn from this stuff. Don't do like our fathers did, because the end is going to be damnation. Now, all these things were happening unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, that taketh heed lest he fall. Let him think that he's going to come and stand before the Most High with his offering, with a deceived heart, one full of covetousness and malice and ill will, and all the other leaven of iniquities, and stand before the Most High and think he's going to stand, take heed lest he fall. And we've seen it repeatedly from Passover to from the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Passover year after year, that you look back to the next feast and some people are not with us anymore. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. And Dawid saying, "Search me, O Yah, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, this was a man, you know, that was after Yah's own heart. We know that's because that's what the word tells us. But this is a reason he was a man after Yah's own heart, because he had this mindset to please his king. He wanted everything that was foul and nasty and wicked and anything that was there out of him, and he wanted it so bad is that when he transgressed, Yah brought the house down on him, so to speak, so he would never think about going that way back again. But this is how much Dawid loved the Father and how much the Father had a love for David. Psalms chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, I believe. Yeah, 1 and 2. A psalm of David. "Judge me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in mine integrity. And I have trusted also in thee, Yahweh. Therefore I shall not slide, because my trust is in thee. Examine me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." The word examine, the Hebrew 974, it means to test. Generally and figuratively, to investigate, examine, prove, tempt, try. And the word prove. So investigate me, Father. Prove me, Yah. David's asking him, "Father, do this for me, because I want to be clean before you." The word prove, the Hebrew 52:54, Brown Driver Briggs definition. It means to test, to try, to prove, to tempt, to assay, put to the proof or test, to test, to try, to attempt, to assay, to try, test, try. They keep moving the same word over and over again. But anywhere it is, it's just test me, try me, prove me, Father, whatever it is that I have to go through, whatever situations in life that you feel necessary to order my steps in that direction, let me go through them, Father, so I can see that what's working in me, because if I hadn't been placed in that situation or circumstance, I'd have never been able to experience what is actually going on in my heart. Something that may have picked up in when I was a natural, unconverted man, because we picked up everything in our former life, right? We didn't know no better. Sin was sin. We didn't even consider it sin. We just went and did whatever we wanted to do. We're big enough to do, right? And plus all the curses. But here you got David saying, "Man, I want everything out. So, you know, put me in a situation, prove me, test me, try me. And so I can safely examine my heart and say, man, I'm guilty of this before you. I'm guilty of that before you, Father. You can repent and get clean, turn, and the atoning blood of Jesus will redeem you, cleanse you." Psalm chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. A prayer of Dawid, prayer of David. "Hear the right, O Yahweh, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Man, I ain't there yet. I can honestly say that I am not there yet, but I'm still going to ask to prove, test, and try me, because I have to get there. And I want to get there because I want to please him. I want to be offer up sweet-smelling prayers to him and beautiful offerings. "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Well, that concludes the study for tonight. I hope it made sense, at least the best I could try and convey it. But again, it's the urgency of the season we're entering into, and it's all out of, admonishment. It's all out of, entreating that who's ever listening that, you know, have your heart prepared when you come to the feast. Don't allow yourself to come, you know, make sure you take care of what's ever going on. Come right and give a good offering before the Father, you know, that he can sustain you and, and whatever that is, whatever it takes, you know, that Father, prove me, test me, try me. But it's for him, for his glory, for his righteousness, because We're supposed to have a love of the Most High and want to be clean before Him continually. So anyway, glory to the King. I sure hope you all enjoyed even the little delays or, you know, the little pauses in this tight study. But glory to the King. Anyway, it's worth it. But hey, it was my honor and my privilege to have you all in the room tonight to, you know, be with me in tonight's blog talk. And I don't know how we're going to be doing for – I'm sure we're not going to have any blog talks during that weekend of the Passover. But so it'll probably be 5 or 6 weeks before I get back on there. But hey, my brothers and sisters, be blessed in the Most High. Be encouraged. You know, pray for one another continually and pray that Yah give Pastor Dowell strength, give the shepherd strength to continually bring the word, that beautiful word that will not only save him, but save us as well. All right, that I bid you all a good night and a sweet shalom. Shalom, shalom.